Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Dillon State Park here in East Central Ohio. I'd like to remind all of you to please press the follow button if you haven't done so already, and you'll be notified 1 hour prior to each show. The music you hear at the beginning and end of each show is performed by your host. CDs are available on request. We're coming to you Sunday, June the 9th, 2013. Everything you hear on Ohio Exopolitics is for educational nonprofit purposes, and we're back once again in the Billy Meier case. And you know, the Meier case is filled with so much deep and profound information that it's often important to kind of retrace your steps a little bit and try to get a good handle on what you've already covered. We've been talking about Contact Report 10, but you have to kind of remember that Billy had contacts all the way back roughly to the age he was 5 years old, and I can remember one contact occurred in 1945. Billy was 8 years old. He was called out into the forest by an elderly Playaran man named Svoth. Billy would get these telepathic messages. At the very young age of 8 years old, he would go out into the forest and wait for Svoth, and then out of the sky would become a silvery pear-shaped craft, and it would land in a clearing, and then Svoth would eventually step out of the ship. He was about, I'm thinking, 700 years old at that time, walk out of the ship and take little Edward by the hand and walk back to the ship and explain to Billy what his life was going to be like and what kind of challenges and difficulties that he would face. One of the things that Svoth told Billy is that there would be attempts on his life when he got older, and that people would want to kill him for his message. And he also was told that his wife would leave him, and that later she would slander him and call him a fraud. And so Billy kind of knew what was going to happen in his life. You know, these steps were predetermined, and he just kind of had to walk in these predetermined steps. Now, Billy's next group of contacts came with a woman named Asket, who was from a race of extraterrestrial humans called the Timmers. And she came from what is known as the Tao universe. And Asket gave Billy very interesting messages about the dangers of the earth religions and how the earth religions were actually stifling the spiritual evolution of human beings on earth, particularly that the earth religions were undermining our sense of personal responsibility, and that we were unloading our responsibilities onto God, onto priests, onto pastors, onto governments, and that we weren't taking responsibilities for ourselves. Askett also told Billy that he would face some very difficult times in the future, and told him about the time he would be involved in a bus accident and that he would lose his arm. And she told him that all these things were going to happen and there was really nothing that he could do to stop these events. So Edward Albert Meyer hasn't lived the same life as you and I. According to the Pleiaren, Billy is a very ancient, highly evolved spirit. His human spirit, they trace all the way back to 26 million years ago when the Lyrians first came into the Milky Way galaxy. They refer to the spirit as Nocodemian, and they say that 26 million years ago, Nocodemian led his people from the depths of the universe into the Milky Way galaxy. And the Lyrians, as I've said before, they were titans. Some of them were extremely tall, and they were very advanced spiritually. They were very advanced in their technical abilities. But there were certain factions in the Lyrian society. There were, as we've talked about before, there were Ishwishes who had certain political powers. And there was one Ishwish named Asael who left the Lyra Vega systems. By the way, the Lyrian constellation is really massive. When we talk about the Lyrians, typically we're talking about the star Vega, which is roughly 20 light years from us. But I believe in the Lyrian constellation, there's also something called the Ring Nebula. And Askett talks about the Ring Nebula and how that relates back to the Lyrians. And the Ring Nebula is something like 2,000 light years from Earth. So the Lyrian constellation is an incredibly large area. And I think even the Timmers descend from the Lyrians, and they went into this alternate universe as well. Remember, Billy has incarnated as Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, Muhammad, and Galileo. Each time he had an incarnation as a human being, he taught what the Pleiaren call the teaching of the spirit. Now, the teaching of the spirit says that within each human is a tiny fractal holographic copy of the universal consciousness. The universal consciousness is the intelligence that created the material universe. In fact, the material universe is the physical manifestation of this spirit. And within each human is the seat of the infinite, but few are aware of it. It takes sound, reasonable logic and freedom from unreal teaching to wake up the infinite. And waking up the infinite is pretty much the goal of our lives. And that's kind of a spiritual perfection. You see, the creation is made of wisdom and love. Wisdom and love go together. And the creation and its laws are wisdom and love. So you can think of wisdom and love as kind of two sides of the same coin, so to speak. And the Pleiaron teach us that we shouldn't identify ourselves with our bodies. We shouldn't identify ourselves with our possessions. We shouldn't identify ourselves with our voices. But we should start to learn to identify ourselves with all things, because the human spirit is an eternal thing. It's part of this universal consciousness. So our purpose here is to acquire wisdom, and we go through many, many, many incarnations in many, 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 many lifetimes to develop wisdom. Now, Edward Albert Meyer had many, many, many lifetimes before his spirit was brought to earth. His spirit was brought to earth during the time of Atlantis and Lemuria, after the two great cities destroyed each other and quite nearly destroyed the earth. The Pleiaron thought that the best chance for earth would be to bring this very ancient, highly evolved spirit here to reintroduce to the earth human the teaching of the spirit. Now, Billy is a humble one-armed farmer from Switzerland. You have to remember this. When he was born, he's born like every human. He comes in with a consciousness block, so he doesn't immediately recall his past lives. And one of the purposes of Svath in those initial contacts as a very young boy was to help him to recall his past lives. And, you know, I think typically we here on Earth, we don't recall our past lives. The Pleiaron consider us a very immature society. They think of us as a stage two society, where there's actually seven evolutionary steps for humans that they go through. We start out as primitive. Then we go to what they call rational life, and the Pleiaron consider us to be in the rational category in stage two. A stage three human civilization is what they call an intelligent civilization. We're not there yet. They talk about stage four societies, as societies that learn to travel to the stars. They learn hyperspace technology, which allows these very advanced cultures to travel from star system to star system with almost no time passing. And then there's fifth stage societies, which the Pleiaron are in. And in fifth stage societies, we get what's called the King of Wisdom. Some people get up to the level of the Ishwish, or the King of Wisdom, and they learn all of these abilities of the human spirit. And then the sixth stage society is the human starts to lose the need for the physical body, becomes half spiritual and half physical, and eventually in the seventh stage, we kind of merge back into creation. And the Pleiaron tell us that there are 7.5 million human civilizations in the Milky Way galaxy. What's interesting is they also talk about different space-time configurations or different dimensions. And that was always something for me that was kind of a hard thing to accept or wrap my mind around. But evidently there are different space-time configurations in the Milky Way galaxy. So the Milky Way galaxy is an immense place. It's somewhere between 120,000 and 100,000 light years across. There are between 200 and 400 billion stars, maybe a trillion planets. Plus, there are different space-time configurations. Now, the people that we call the Pleiadians, they don't live in our Pleiades. They live beyond the Pleiades, light years beyond the Pleiades, in another space-time configuration. In that system, my understanding is it's called the Pleiaren system, named after the daughter of Asael. Asael was, again, the great Ishwish that left the Lyrian system and brought 230,000 Lyrians with him. And they settled on this beautiful planet called Era. It's very Earth-like. It has a higher oxygen content, but is a very Earth-like planet. And they settled there. And so in Lyra, there are different space-time configurations. In the Pleiaren system, there are different space-time configurations. In the Cirrus system, there are different space-time configurations. And there were a group of Lyrians that went to the Cirrus system. One group of these Lyrians, they advanced too quickly, and they lost their fighting spirit. So they did some genetic science activities and developed a human race, which was very aggressive and had a shortened lifespan. Now, the Meyer material calls the creators of this human race the Creator Overlords. And the Creator Overlords are talked about in Contact 251. The Creator Overlords created what the Meyer material calls the genetically manipulated peoples. And eventually, the Creator Overlords thought these genetically manipulated peoples were just too dangerous to keep around. So there was a decision made to kill off the genetically manipulated peoples. Well, not all of the Syrians went along with that. So some of them took these genetically manipulated peoples, some group of them, and they fled to our solar system. And my understanding is that they inhabited Mars, and they inhabited another world that was in our solar system called Melona. So at one time in our solar system, there were three worlds that supported life 200,000 to 300,000 years ago: Melona, Mars, and the Earth. Eventually, these genetically manipulated peoples, through some great war, destroyed their own planet, and they diverted an ocean into a volcano, which caused the planet to explode. And it's very interesting that there was a mainstream scientist by the name of Dr. Tom Van Flandern who talked about the exploded planet theory. And Dr. Courtney Brown talks about the exploded planet theory. And they both say that that's how we got our asteroid belt. Anyway, those fragments from destroyed Melona pummeled Mars and pushed Mars out of its orbit, and eventually Mars became a dead world. And some of these genetically manipulated peoples escaped and to Earth. So now here on Earth, now we have this same genetic manipulation, the shortened lifespans, the increased aggressions, and this is one of the challenges we have in our evolution, because in my humble opinion, it takes for you to get to about 40 to 50 years old before you can really understand who you are, where you come from, and what's going on in this world. And by then, you're almost practically on your way out. So And there are so many distractions on the earth. Almost everything is a distraction from the spiritual life. So hopefully this Meyer material can help reorient ourselves to what is going on in the universe around us and what our real history is. See, the Meyer material says the universe is very ancient. It's 46 trillion years old. And there were two universes formed, the Tao universe, which is our younger sister universe, and our universe, the Dern universe. The Earth is about 4.5 billion years old. The Earth became solid about 4.5 billion years ago. If we go back to 225 million years ago, we had the first mammal, on the Earth. Our scientists call Adelus bassialis gromtoni. And it was somewhat like a rat, somewhat like a shrew, believe it or not. And over millions of years, hundreds of millions of years, eventually a primate developed. And there were two lineages that came off the primate. One was apes. The second lineage was mankind. So mankind did not develop from the apes, as Darwin has said, but mankind developed from the primates. And that was somewhat 9 to 12 million years ago. Now, in the ancient past of Earth, these native Earth humans were called Evas by the advanced extraterrestrials who were here. And these native Earth humans roamed the Earth in packs like wild animals. Well, the Lyrians first came here 22 million years ago. Well, they came back about 387,000 years ago. And they genetically manipulated the Earth peoples. They also made them slaves. They also abused them in many ways. Eventually, these Lyrians were trapped here on Earth. Other Lyrians came, saw these crimes being committed, and took the technologies of these Lyrians, took their ships, and they left them stranded here. So that was kind of their payment. The codex of these Lyrians were trapped on this world with these people who they had abused. And over thousands and thousands and thousands of years, they lost their great stature. They lost their history. They lost their technologies. They lost their spiritual abilities. And they became part of Earth humanity. And that's how the white genetic supposedly got started on Earth. And these Lyrians commingled with the peoples that they abused. So you have the dark-skinned Earth people, the mixed Earth people, and then the purely white Earth people. Now, there was an interesting thing that was going on in Lyrian civilization. One of the great problems they had was with something called the Destroyer Comet. Now, the Destroyer Comet is this massively large comet that comes through our system, or came through our system from time to time. Well, it also came through ancient Lyra, the Lyrian systems. And it set them back practically to the Stone Age more than once. Once that I'm aware of, I should say. And it wreaked havoc through the Lyrian system. And these people would have to rebuild. They would have to relearn their technologies and and relearn their spiritual abilities. And it happened more than once, I think, to Valyrians. And it's very interesting that when the Plyaran came back into the soul system, into our system, they were following the tail, in the tail of this great comet. And they saw ruins from the ancient Lyrian system in the tail of this comet. And they eventually got to Earth, and they were astonished to see people with Lyrian spirit forms here. And they made the connection to their ancient ancestors and to Earth. So these Pleiadian / Plyaran have a great, in a sense, a great affinity to Earth, because they understand that we have common ancestors. There also were Plyaran who started systems here on Earth, started civilizations. One of what's a great Ishwish named Pelagon, which I find this one of the most interesting stories of the Meyer material, is a very, very, very benevolent Ishwish named Pelagon, who I think he came from the Plyaran system, from Era, I would assume. And he brought colonists here to Earth and set up a great civilization here that existed for thousands and thousands of years. Now, eventually, when Pelagon died, that civilization died as well and kind of went its way, eventually died off. There were great wars, and The extraterrestrial humans that were here that died became part of the incarnation cycles on Earth. The ones that didn't were the ones that escaped these great wars. So it's really interesting that, in a sense, the Earth has, in some ways, become a prison planet for these very ancient, highly advanced peoples. In some sense, and I think the Earth is a bit of a jewel in a way. It's a very beautiful world, although we're destroying it. In fact, Plyaran say we are an insane society rushing headlong to our own destruction. And the Henoch prophecies say that in the future, in the United States, that we could potentially have two great civil wars in the United States, and that we will have potentially our great country will be divided into five regions after all this takes place and all this occurs, and also that we'll have a great economic problem in the United States. At some point, our U.S. dollar will not be worth the money that it's, or the paper that it's printed on. So these are potential realities. I'm very, very thankful that these haven't happened yet. Other prophecies in the Henoch prophecies say that in the future we will have firestorms that will sweep over the U.S. And they also talk about hurricanes, and I wonder if hurricane, in the sense of hurricane, they wouldn't mean or couldn't be referring to tornadoes as well. I know we've seen a lot of tornadoes, for example, in Oklahoma, these devastating F4, F5 tornadoes that wipe out vast quantities of real estate. Some of the other Henoch prophecies say also that we will, because of taking tremendous amounts of oil out of the earth and tremendous amounts of natural gas, and we've created these vast empty caverns within the earth, And these empty caverns cause an unusual rotation of the Earth. And that rotation literally could push us into another orbit. And the Polarians say that this orbit will take us a little bit out of the temperate zone of our star, and we will start to experience ice ages that are, I say ice ages, but we'll have these tremendous snowstorms that go all the way down, in some cases, to the equator. And hopefully that will not happen. That, again, would be a horrific thing. And if you go in Contact 251, it talks about in the future, the people of Earth will build artificial suns to rectify our screwed-up climate. And for a while, these artificial suns will be incredibly beneficial, and it will bring in a bit of a golden age. But as time goes on, as time would have it, these artificial suns, they have problems with them. And one of them actually said to crash into the Earth. And that leads to many other problems. Also in Contact 251, the prophetic material talks about in the future what appears to be, well, they call it the rise of the robot people. Now, to me, it looks very much like transhumanism, this whole transhumanism movement. I had an interesting discussion with Alfred Weber on Revolution Radio last night on Saturday. And by the way, if you haven't gone to Revolution Radio yet, please do. Man, it's fantastic. We've been having some really good roundtables as well on Saturdays and Sunday afternoons with the hosts and some of the guests. But I had an interesting discussion with Alfred Weber about transhumanism, because part of the thing that people are getting is remote harassment and remote control, literally. The elite have developed some system of technology which they can use to remotely harass people, to using synthetic telepathy can place messages in their heads. And the Meyer material says that in the future that human beings will attach biological electronic devices to their nerve endings, which would eventually allow them to operate machinery. And there will be the rise of the robot people, these people that merge with machines. And they're, at some point, it's going to enhance even their conscious abilities. These robot people will have tremendous conscious abilities. I think they'll eventually be able to tap into some kind of collective consciousness. There might be a hive mind, I don't know. Some of them will willfully have their arms and legs amputated to be connected to machines so that they can operate these machines in space travel and whatnot. We have a very potentially sordid future, and I certainly hope that we do not go down this path, that we do not see these things happen, that we as Earth humans start to grow a little bit spiritually, and that we don't fall into some of these problems that are forecast in the Meyer material. Well, I can see we've only got 25 minutes left. I thought I would have had a couple callers by now. I had a couple. I think Larry Driscoll was going to call. Evidently, he's not going, and I thought Solaris was going to call in, but it looks like she isn't. Well, let's listen to a little bit of music, and we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes. Hello, folks. This is Ohio Expo Politics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and I can see I've got two callers now. I was hoping that one of you guys would call in the first half of the show, and the other would call in at the last half. But that's it. I'm just glad to have you. So, both of you, welcome to Ohio Expo Politics. I will bring you on the air in just a second. Some of the folks in the chat room wanted the link to Revolution Radio. Let me see if I can copy that in. And, okay, here we go. That is freedomslips.com. If you click that, you'll go to a website and then click the Enter New Site button. And then go to Studio B, which is the studio that I'm usually doing my show on Saturday night, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. And let me bring my guests on the air here. We've got 347. And that is...
Me.
Hello, 347. Say your name, where you're calling from.
Well, that must be me, unless there's somebody else calling from New York.
Oh, Anthea. I didn't expect... You never know what's going to happen with a radio show, do you, Anthea?
No, not really. My show on Friday, I went on for, 2 hours? I got a caller at the last 2 minutes, and we talked for, another hour, so.
That is so bizarre. That's amazing.
Know.
Let me bring on the other caller here, 661. State your name and where you're calling from.
Is that me? It's Solaris.
Solaris, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good. You know who I expected during the second hour? Was Larry Driscoll, but I'm glad I got you guys, and I'm glad just to let everyone know, Solaris is going to be on my show on Revolution Radio June 15th, and you're going to stay the whole show practically, Solaris?
Yeah, just about. Yeah.
Okay, and then you got to go for your show, and then the second half of the show, we're going to talk to Bernie Mendez, and I want to schedule Anthea for some Saturday in July. If you got some time.
I got nothing but time.
Yeah, well, that's cool. That's all good to hear. So what's been going on with Blog Talk Radio, Anthea? It sounds like you had a long show, but kind of strange.
No, it was good. She called in. She was talking about, it was Sheila. You probably know Sheila, talking about how we got to get corporations out of the government in order to straighten things out right now, you know.
I hear you. Solaris, you were on the round table today, and I know you, I just sensed that you had something really on your mind that you kind of wanted to say, but you didn't get a chance to ever...
I know. And it's like most of it's probably out the window by now. I think the biggest thing that we were discussing was, we were talking about people being imprisoned and insofar as not being able to evolve or ascend off the planet. And I said that was totally false, that we are capable of doing that through higher consciousness. And we can also rewrite our own internal programming so that it resonates with higher octaves so that we are liberated. And most of our own prisons, quote-unquote frequency fences, are based on our own belief systems, which are based on false realities, which are based on censorship throughout the centuries. So it's uncovering.
You know what would be interesting is because Anthea, I know, is very knowledgeable in terms of programming and mind control. And Solaris, I know you've been a victim of this. And I talked my show... Anthea, did you get to listen at all to my show with Alfred Weber last night?
Yeah, I did last night. I missed the first 5 minutes trying to find that link. Hint, hint.
They make it difficult, don't they?
Yeah, I was hoping you would send out a notice or something like that.
Okay, I usually do.
Link.
I'm going to have to do that from now on. I had some people think, I think they felt like they were getting spammed, but I guess I'm going to have to continue to do that. So what did you think about that remote harassment?
Oh, that's been going on for quite some time. That's not anything new. Listening in on phone calls, that's nothing new. Stuart Swordlow used to say that happened to him all the time. He'd be on the phone with a client, and he'd hear a voice come on going, "Go to blue, go to blue." You know, he.
That's crazy.
And his clients would be like, "Oh, I don't want to talk about it on the phone," and he'd say, "Doesn't matter. They know anyway. They know anyway. They can. They don't need reading your emails or your phone. They can actually do it through the satellites."
Yeah, Solaris, you couldn't hide from it anywhere, could you?
No, I mean, you know, I decoded the whole thing, but it's satellite-driven technology, but mine wasn't the way he had it. It was interfaced. I have the synthetic telepathy, which was interfaced with the satellite communication system, but it's an anomaly signature that's actually embedded in my electromagnetic field. Now, I've written several books on the topic. I put a documentary out, and I've also did a presentation at the Super Soldier Summit for solutions, so I'm not new to this area in any form or design.
Well, I think a lot of people are, though. I think a lot of people are just shocked by this. And the guy that Alfred was talking about, that Magnus Olsen guy who went into the hospital, and then when he woke up after his surgery, he basically didn't remember who he was, and he was hearing voices in his head. And you kind of went through some of that, didn't you?
Well, it wasn't that kind of a programming. I was a satellite-driven technology. I didn't have to go through surgery. I mean, basically, I was inducted into the program at my house. So it wasn't anything like his programming at all. It was more of it's a different communication system. But, yeah, it's still, you know, he was subjected to something else that was more physical because he went through surgery, and then apparently they implanted him that way.
Him, didn't they?
Well, it sounds like it. I mean, I haven't done the research on his case, but I know mine was completely satellite-driven. It pierced the electromagnetic field. It had nothing to do with the physical surgery. It was all done remote. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. We all have a biological frequency that's unique to us, and if they want to find you, that's all they got to hook onto. That's why they always get when you go to the hospital, when you're born, they always take a sample of your blood. Where's that blood going to?
Gosh.
You know.
What do you think about that, Solaris?
Well, I mean, that's a different spectrum. I mean, it's obvious that they've been doing research, but it's not just about them. I mean, basically, you know, it's interesting. I was listening to Joe Montaldo last night on my show, and he was talking about abductees. And a lot of the abductees are tracked by U.S. government covert intelligence areas with my lab. They actually, once people get tagged by a real extraterrestrial source connection, then they get tagged by a MyLab government program to be tracked. So I found that interesting, and I wouldn't put it past anything in our covert intelligence departments. I'm certainly familiar with their MyLabs.
I wonder if there'll be any way to escape from this in the future, Anthea. What do you think?
If we can all remove our victimization mind patterns, that's where we all start, because we're all born, you know, with that in us being a victim. If we can eliminate that, they, whatever you want to call them, New World, or Illuminati, whoever they are, they won't have a control over us. You know, and Sheila was talking about, you know, getting corporations out of the government, and it's like, I mean, you talk about 7 billion people on this planet, commoners that we are, against 300,000 members of this this elite family group of 13 families.
Solaris, do you think that this victimization mind pattern is related in any way to our religions?
It's possible. I mean, it's all about programming, and it's about censorship throughout history. So people are raised and programmed to behave a certain way and to react a certain way. With psychotronic programming, I mean, you have a handler who's trying to program you into a certain space with dialogue and communication, so that's going to break down fragile people with fragile psyches. Now, those who are stronger can override and rewrite the programs, and that's what I was talking about with my presentation at the Super Soldier Summit. You rewrite the program, and you also use zero-point transmissions and other things to break up the signal and scramble it. So there are things that can be done.
Yeah, well, religion is the original programming. That is, but in those days when religion first came about, we had a smaller population. And, okay, so don't eat fish on Friday. If you do this, you do that, be strong. You know, put that fear of God in you. But now, with 7 billion people on the planet, they use a satellite. Everything in society, whether it's the movies, the books you read, mainstream media, walking down the street, everything you look at is designed to keep you in a program. Because the powers that be want civilization going in a certain direction.
Solaris, do you think that this programming can be traced all the way back to Atlantis and Lemuria?
I think for some people it can. It certainly has a lot to do with our celestial heritage and the misuse of technology back on Atlantis. I mean, they were misusing technology, they were misusing telepathy, and they had psychic wars and psychic battles, plus the technological side of it. So, yeah, it's probably a bleed-through effect on the cellular level. There's no doubt about that. But those of us who have been through those storms and have been through those timelines already know that you don't misuse technology. And so those who are misusing the technology obviously weren't there. They wouldn't be doing it again, that's for sure.
And, Anthea, doesn't Stuart have a different take on Atlantis and Lemuria? He talks about reptilians, doesn't he?
Oh, reptilians being in Lemuria and the humans, the Larians being in Atlantis, being at war because... Basically, reptilians and mammals really shouldn't be living together. They have different needs. But yes, the Atlanteans did do a lot of experimentation and hybrid, putting fish like dolphins with humans and creating the mare folks or the centaur, you know, or these other. They did that to create a slave race, you know, very much what you were talking about before with the robot people.
Solaris, do you think that we're trying to be turned into a slave race?
Well, I think they're using us for sure. And so far, I don't really think they need us, quite honestly. It's kind of a waste of programming, if you ask me. I mean, even if you take the mass collective and use them as slaves, it's really, after a while, I would say they probably take away the majority of people through some kind of an extermination process and keep a very small group. I mean, that's just their patterning. So I don't see any logic behind it, but who knows?
Now, you said something very interesting the other day, though, that you said that they're going to take certain parts of humanity, merge them with machines in this transhumanist agenda, and then the rest of them, they just want to kill off.
Right, yeah, that's what I was talking about. Yeah, I think they'll probably take the ones who are sharp or high IQs and try to recruit them, try to program them, and then probably just, you know, annihilate the rest. I mean, I know it sounds harsh, but looking at their agenda, I would say that's probably where they're at.
Yeah, but they're going to need when they start going to the outer planets and doing mining, they're going to need people to go there and mine.
You know, Stuart's always said that. He's always been of the opinion that they're not going to kill the people off. They're just
he doesn't feel that they'd spend thousands of years creating a slave race and then just knock us off.
Well, they don't really have any power anyway. I mean, these guys are the manipulators. They're a different breed. I mean, the ones that are misusing the technology on this timeline are not the true celestial races. I mean, they're just a poor man's version of the technology, so it doesn't matter what they want in the long run. I'm just speaking of their agenda and what their plans are with the transhumanism projects. But insofar as the bigger picture goes, no, they're not connected to the big races out there. There's no way.
Valeris, do you see a happy ending to this story? What do you think?
I think that a happy ending is through higher consciousness on a global scale. I mean, it's just a personal path of spiritual evolution. You do the best you can each day, and you break orbit with false programs and matrices, and you just move on. And that's what I've done in my life. I mean, I'm well aware of what's out there. I'm very street smart when it comes to the technology, but we just have to keep ascending in higher consciousness and not let ourselves get locked into these false realities.
Anthea, what do you think? Do you think?
Yeah,
that-
definitely. It's all within us. It's all within us. The God mind is within us. It's just that we're concentrated right now in this type of reality. It's like a radio station. You know, what are you tuned to? If you can tune to the extraterrestrial level or the angel level or the God mind, you can do that. It's all within us. There's no such thing as, oh, one day we're going to descend. You have that ability right now. Nobody's descending or ascending. We're at it right now. It's just a matter of tuning your frequency to that point.
Solaris, do you have a similar notion of the quote-unquote God mind?
Yeah, it's pretty much what I wrote about in my book, Transmutation for Ascension. It was all about frequency and transcendence. Yeah, basically, we manifest at will as we go from day to day, depending on where you want to tune in. Unfortunately, you know, we have a lot of false realities and drama bubbles flying around on the illusion of this linear reality with what's going on with governments and things like that that are trying to hold the collective in limitation, but it's still an illusion. People need to realize that.
What do you think, Anthony, about drama bubbles? Do you think we got a lot of drama bubbles flying around?
Well, yeah, well, that's to keep you in fear and to keep you thinking this victim mind pattern. You know, once you can get past that, you'll be free of it.
I think it's really interesting the concept you brought up of the victimization mind pattern. Solaris, do you think that these terror, quote-unquote terror events are designed to keep us in that victimization mind pattern?
Well, it's definitely to trigger fear and a response, an emotional response. I mean, they can feed off of the energetic of an emotional response. Well, that's part of it. It's just kind of conditioning people for situations and how they react to those situations.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that's part of it.
Yeah.
And Tia, do you see an economic collapse in the future?
I don't know. I got my fingers crossed, no. I think if we don't... See, that's all part of the victimization mind pattern. You know, if we have to look... Don't look at... See an end. Look at your own little world and make that perfect, and then everything outside of it isn't going to matter. So I refuse to even think that way.
Oh, that's really good. Solaris, what do you think of that? To kind of...
I'd like to see it all implode, personally. I'd like to see the illusion of this, the misuse of power and technology and government all just kind of collapse onto itself and then restructure. And I think we need to restructure our entire system. And it would be nice to even get away from money and do, like, bartering or something else, come up with another solution, do free energy. I'd like to see it completely reconstructed.
And you've literally decided, Solaris, not to even... You don't even have a TV, right?
I have my computer. That's pretty much as far as it goes right now for me, yeah. I'm done with mainstream television and all that stuff.
Oh, I got my TV. They're gonna program you in any other way anyway. They got other ways of programming. At least when I watch TV, I can see what's going on there, and you just read between the lines.
That's interesting. You know,
they're going to get you anyway. They're going to get you walking down the street, listening to somebody passing by with a radio, music, looking at the colors around you, and advertisement. It's everywhere. Everything on this planet, everything has been designed to keep you in that program.
What do you think of that?
Well, you know, if I go to the movies, I know what they're doing.
I mean, there is that. There's the subliminal programming. There's that what she's talking about, and then there's the stuff that I've been through, which is hardcore stuff, which is literally a hate or live feed in real time. So, I come from a spectrum of very different things, and so I don't appreciate television. It's not even something that I enjoy watching. So that's why I don't choose to have one. It's not something that I find entertaining at all. I'd rather read a book or do research on my computer. That's just me, though. You know.
Yeah, it's interesting. You bring up this whole idea of two levels of programming. The first level kind of being passive, you know.
You've got general programming, and then you have specific programming. But everybody, 100% of us are programmed one way or the other. And then you have a certain percentage that is specifically programmed and downloaded with stalker program, assassin program, Monarch programming, this programming, you name it, twin programming, you know, that's specific, where there is an agenda targeted on you to fulfill something.
You know what came to my mind, too, when you were saying that, is how aren't all of the people in Hollywood programmed, like Britney Spears and people like that?
Yeah, well, they're programming icons. Anyone who, I've talked about this on my show, anyone who follows Lady Gaga or Britney Spears are going to do what she does. You know, she shaves their head, you shave your head. They get a butterfly tattoo, you get a butterfly tattoo. They push a certain charity, you're going to follow that charity. And as soon as those programming icons no longer are valuable. They get replaced. All of a sudden, they have an accident. They disappear. They whatever.
Solaris, I bet you don't listen to Lady Gaga, do you?
No, I'm not real big on her. I mean, I think there might have been one song I could tolerate eons ago, but no, I'm not real big on her.
Well, I want to thank both of you for calling, and I'm going to try to keep the show to an hour tonight. I've been kind of an internet junkie, and Solaris, you'll be on the 15th and of June, and Anthea, we're going to try to find a weekend in July, and I'll be in touch. And we'll try to set up something and get you on Revolution Radio. That's okay with you?
That's fine.
All righty, folks.
Thanks, Mark, listening
to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We've been talking with Solaris Blue Raven and Anthea Paul. And they both have websites and books. And we'll talk to them again in the future. And all of you have a good evening. And we'll be back next weekend, if not sooner. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.